As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2020 again.
Steve, thank you. It's great to be on the show.
You know, we're going to talk about the pandemic today and its ongoing impact on Wichita City government. But first, I'd like to ask how the pandemic has impacted you personally, if I can ask for a personal note this morning.
Well, it's interesting. First of all, thanks for that question. I, from a health standpoint, I'm doing fine, and I'm so fortunate that my family has stayed healthy through all of this. And I've been concerned about our organization. You know, we have essential workers who have just done phenomenal work from the start of the pandemic all the way through this period of time, and trying to keep them safe has probably been the thing that's I've been most concerned about. And so that's been front of my mind throughout all of this time.
Yeah, many have reported dark feelings. I must admit I have, even depression. Did you have any emotional reaction like that personally?
You know, I think at times I it's not a matter of feeling, you know, going through a dark moment, so to speak, because of the nature of the work we do, we have to keep looking forward, and we're so preoccupied with what we need to do to keep service out there, and as I said, to do it in a safe way for our employees as well as the people we serve. It's been actually, I think, if there's anything that I've felt has been just overwhelmed at times. But again, because of the wonderful staff we have, everybody's kind of pitched in together, and I feel this great sense of camaraderie with the people that I've been working with as a result of all this.
And I kind of feel the same way with the job I'm doing, but it's like this thing is hanging over you, like in the back of your mind there, this terrible thing, and it won't go away.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, human beings are resilient. You just have to look at this as another challenge. And I know it's hard for folks, especially if you're confined to your home day in and day out. We reopened City Hall a few months after the pandemic first started. And so I've been at work for a lot of that time. And so I do see a change in scenery a little bit. And I also don't have young children that I have to work through their educational needs and their social needs. So I can understand why my situation is a little different than others. But I think those folks who are saying we're going to get through this, it's just a matter of looking forward and understanding that we will get back to, you know, a new normal once there's a vaccine. But what can we do to adapt? What can we do to have that positive approach moving forward? I mean, because we've got economic challenges in this region. We have a lot, you know, we're still at like 8.5-9% unemployment rate, which is substantially down from the 18% that we had. But those families are struggling. And I think it's that focus is what's kept me from maybe dwelling too much on the negative aspects of COVID.
Yeah. Are you wearing a mask in public, by the way?
Yes, I am. I wear a mask everywhere. Because, I mean, I believe in the science. And if if you have a mask on, I have a mask on, we have a pretty good chance of not transmitting the virus.
Why do you think some folks are so resistant to mask wearing?
You know, the best I can figure it out, Steve, it's probably more an issue of personal freedom and liberty. That's what I hear a lot of people talk about. It's that I don't even know that it's a denial of the science. I know that comes in with some people, but I think it's a matter of it's a significant change in the way that we live. After a while, it wears on you. I think the best term I've heard is COVID fatigue, right? And so after, you know, that comes to a point where you just say enough is enough. It's kind of like a network, right? I'm just not going to take this anymore. And it's like, I don't want to wear the mask. I just want to get back to a sense of normal. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we can't get there unless we follow those simple steps that they always talk about, including wearing a mask.
Let's review the policies at City Hall in dealing with visitors.
Yes.
What's the general policy? Tell me about that.
Okay, so to get into any of our facilities, including City Hall, you need to have a mask on. And we will furnish masks to those who to come in with, who want to enter the building and don't have their own. And for those who still struggle, and we know a lot of people do financially, we have some cloth masks that we'll give out to our customers so that they have something they can take away and reuse. And then we've tried to keep most of our business on the first three floors. Municipal court takes the second and third floor. And then most of our walk-in business now, we have a counter that serves those that are dealing with housing issues, utility issues. Actually, we have multiple counters that they can get that business transacted down in the lobby and then be able to go on. And it minimizes their exposure as well as staff exposure to the virus.
You know, Sedgwick County Courts and the jail are having problems with backlogs of cases. They're not going to trial. Is that also a problem for municipal court, and municipal court there in City Hall, right?
Yes, it is here. And we basically we closed the courts for the first few months of the pandemic and then have slowly reopened. And I believe that there is not a substantial backlog any longer. The judges, and specifically Judge Jones, who is the chief judge, and the staff, I think, have done a wonderful job of maintaining distancing and safety protocols in the courts and still being able to process the new cases as they come in. And I think we have done a good job of eliminating a lot of the backlog.
Explain how, for those who don't know, explain how the weekly city council meeting is being done, because it's not just in one place. You're doing what we call a remote broadcast.
Exactly, and I hope we're getting close to doing it as well as you guys do. But we have a limit on the number of people that are in the city council chambers, and that's trying to follow Dr. Min's order on minimizing social gatherings. And then we allow for public comment from Century 2. So if you want to participate in the council meeting, you can go to Century 2. We have appropriate distancing there and other protocols. And then when we have a less controversial agenda, we have a couple of rooms we use over there. We use a large hall when we've got larger issues with more people.
Anybody in your group or close to you down there, employees have come down with this?
We do have a number of employees that have tested positive. You have to remember, we have 3,100 employees overall, and so we have had some positives. Our bigger list are a number of employees that are out on quarantine because they had close contact with a family member or someone else that tested positive. What I am proud to say is that there are very, very limited number of cases that you can attribute to the work environment. Almost all of the cases that we've had with our employees have come from family gatherings and other events outside of our buildings.
That's the case here, I think, as well. We've had a couple of cases here.
I think if you listen to the health department, that's what they're saying. That's probably the most common cause positives now.
Now, there are other groups that meet regularly at City Hall. Am I right? Some advisory groups and so forth. And how are you handling those meetings if you're having them?
Almost all of those are still being done remotely.
Okay.
And then we set up similar types of operations for folks that want to participate in the meeting, the public. And I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that we have good access for the public to engage in our meetings, especially the Planning Commission, which, you know, has, once they started up again, haven't missed a beat and have had some, you know, important zoning items with a number of residents that wanted to participate, and they were able to do it remotely.
Yeah, you don't hear much about the Planning Commission, but the people who are involved in real estate and all kinds of different things, that's a pretty important panel for them.
Yeah, very much so. And they were urging us to find a safe way to get the meeting started again. And I commend the staff for finding that method because they wanted to keep their projects moving.
What has the pandemic done to the city's budget?
Well, that's a great question. Right now, our estimate is still that over a three-year period, so this year, into 21 and into 22, that it's probably about a $50 million hit for us. In other words, a loss of revenues of about $50 million. And so we prepared a three-year budget for the council that reflected that. And so we trimmed services, we used our reserve funds in order to be able to balance the budget. I will tell you, though, that we couldn't have asked for a better partner than Sedgwick County when it comes to dealing with this financial hit. They have designated about $12 million of their CARES Act funds for the city and our use. And so that will help us maybe reduce the total impact over that three-year period.
And what happens if things in a few months just everything gets back to normal, the business starts booming, you know, maybe you can put some things back in to the budget? What do you think?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, because of the county's help, there are probably a few things. We had to cut some services in the library. We had to cut services in Parks and Recreation. And I'm going to recommend to the council that we take a little bit of that money is coming back that we're getting for COVID relief. That's going to free up other dollars in our budget that may allow us to restore some of those services.
You know, community getting hit as hard as we have by the unemployment, I mean, our rate's above the state rate, I know. So it's not a real good idea to say, well, we could probably balance the budget by raising taxes. Probably not going to fly, is it?
Steve, you couldn't find a worse time to raise taxes, right? The financial burden on families. And I don't think we spend enough time thinking through that. Folks who are talking about going to the food bank in order to be able to make meet their food needs, mm-hmm. on a monthly basis. And, unemployment benefits run out for some people. We've been talking a lot about how can we help those residents. And some of our neediest residents, luckily we've been able to address some of their concerns through some federal money that we've received for COVID relief in our housing department. And so some of the social service needs in the community are going to be addressed. We're also partnering with the county on their, with the state on their anti-eviction program we can pay landlords for delinquent rents to keep people in safe housing.
You're listening to Issues 2020 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Even with COVID-19, the business of city government goes on. Let's talk about the projects for a moment. What's the latest on the new water treatment plant in Northwest Wichita?
Well, Steve, just this past week, we did the groundbreaking for that project, and it's moving forward. In fact, it's projected that project may get completed a little sooner than originally anticipated. We're going to have four solid years of construction, though, in order to get a project of this magnitude completed. It's amazing how we've been able to partner both with the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level as well as the KDHE at the state level to get some favorable funding to reduce the burden on our ratepayers. But we're really excited about that project that it's now fully designed and under construction.
What's the total price tag on that?
It's over a half billion dollars.
Oh, I was going to say $50 million. Oh, I would have been way under.
Yeah, that's substantially
a lot of money.
It's the largest capital project that we've had in the history of the city of Wichita. And in fact, we received what's called a WIFIA loan from the Environmental Protection Agency. And their representative said this is the largest drinking water project that they have funded from this program.
As we're recording this program, it's under consideration to raise the water and sewer rates for Wichitans. And is that part of all this to pay for that?
Yeah, there are a number of reasons why we're proposing the rates that we are, but it is primarily to be able to take care of the construction of the new water plant. We also are under order from the federal government to make improvements to our sewage treatment plant, and that's coming down the line. Actually, we'll start that process. We already started that process, and we'll get deeper into it in 2021. But there's also what people forget is the underground need that we have, and we did a pretty significant assessment of the condition of our water lines and sewer lines several years ago and determined that if we didn't address some emerging maintenance concerns or issues, that we were going to have a more significant number of breaks and other failures in the system. And so we've really put a lot of money underground over the last 4 or 5 years, and we'll continue to do that. And that's where most of our water rates go. It's only, I think, about 30% of our total costs go for operations, 70% for capital.
Well, you know, you talk about water, and I'm sure the people listening right now, it's water. Come on, guys. You take it for granted. It comes out of a pipe. It's good. Why are we even concerned about water?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's easy for us to say that today, but just think back when we were going through the, you know, multi-year drought and how everything we talked about was water and will there be enough? What can we do to shore up our water supply? And I'm really proud of the way the city has responded and put together a long-range plan that will assure water during the good times as well as the tough times, the drought conditions. And but it does come at a price, and I recognize that. And the council has asked us to continue to do long-range planning so that we can minimize the increases over time.
Well, we've had a nice little taste of winter weather. Tell us about preparation for street treatment this winter. Have you got enough salt? Have you got enough trucks? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think your staff is probably, or your listeners are probably weary of hearing about our public works efforts on snow and ice, because we seems like we talk about that all the time during the season. But we try to listen to our customers, especially when it comes to snow and ice removal, because we know how disruptive that can be, and not just for work travel, but really just in terms of any kind of travel and keeping people safe. And we, you know, we're in that ice belt, right? So it's not just the snowstorms, but even worse is the freezing rain that we get here. And so what we'll do is we'll pre-treat. We have plenty of salt, and we do joint purchases of salt and salt storage with some other communities. And so that's not an issue, but we try to pre-treat so that when the storm first hits, there's going to be enough melt. And then it's a matter of just staying on the primary routes and secondary routes as much as we can to keep from accumulating. But it's a never-ending battle.
Let's talk about the river corridor, development going on the river corridor. How's that coming along?
Well,
if at all.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, so, you know, you have to kind of break it down into pieces. If you look at the Delano portion of the river corridor, it's moving forward in a substantial manner. We've got a hotel going up on the West Bank. We've got new apartments. Hutton Construction is building their new headquarters. We've got, the baseball stadium over there. I think next year we'll get an announcement regarding development around the baseball stadium, the first phase. So I'd say that there's been pretty robust growth occurring on the West Bank. On the East Bank, we've put on hold the consideration of any type of master plan adoption for that East Bank while the community works to address the COVID challenge. This is not the right time to be talking about how that area should be master planned, how it should be developed over time, what the cost should be, what the public improvements would be. I just don't think the community is ready for that discussion right now. When we turn the corner, I think then we do need to talk about a long-range plan.
You're talking about the fate of Century 2, are you not? As part of that, anyway.
Well, yes and no. Well, what we're talking about is contracting for the operation and maintenance of the facility, and that is simply to improve our business operations and try to come into some type of cost containment while we're going through the process on the long-range plan. We still have a business need to operate Century 2 as effectively as possible, and I think there's an expectation that we minimize the public dollars that are used to subsidize that operation as much as possible. And this is where I think it would be helpful to bring in private expertise to help us. And so we'll be soliciting proposals for private assistance in the operation and maintenance. But that's to keep the facility sound and moving through the COVID period, but more importantly, as we come out of this and get into recovery. That has nothing to do with the long-term future of the building.
We've talked a little bit about the Delano District, and I've been down there a number of times since this pandemic hit. But what about East Douglas? Anything going on East Douglas as far as development?
Well, there's we've got some developers that are in the middle or finishing up projects on East Douglas. I don't know that there I think there are some projects on hold because of the current COVID issues, some uncertainty about the future of offices, what are they going to look like. And so I think there's a reluctance to go ahead and, actively market office space until this all settles down. So it's probably a little quieter than it would be under normal circumstances, but there's still construction and development going on.
You know, I came through one of the worst intersections, I think, in the United States of America. We call it the North Junction, 235 yeah. and 130. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but I know the state's involved in trying to redo that. I don't know who thought that up, but they were on drugs or something, because that's ridiculous. But anyway, does the city have any involvement in that redevelopment of that area?
Yes, we're one of the chief partners in all of that, and it's Sedgwick County and Kansas Department of Transportation that are the project sponsors. And I'm glad you brought it up, because we received a $21 million grant from the federal government in order to help us move forward with that project and to get the next phase of construction started. And that took a lot of work. Every member of our congressional delegation, both Senators and Congressman Estes, lobbied on our behalf, provided additional information to the appropriate agencies so that we would be eligible and for funding, and that our project would be looked upon favorably. So we appreciate everything that was done in that regard. And just so you know, Kansas Department of Transportation has identified that interchange as its number one transportation priority for the state. So that backs up what you're saying regarding the dangers and the congestion that we have at that location.
Find the names of the guys who designed that one and the one out on West Kellogg and 235. We have somebody to blame or hang an effigy or something.
But yeah, hey. I think we've kept those names anonymous for a reason.
Good idea. Okay, the new baseball stadium, it's sitting there. If you want me to organize a slow pitch softball league, we could get something going down there. But gosh, that's...
yeah. But then we have to get a liability waiver.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because I'd just be afraid to see you would do anything athletic now at your advanced age.
It could be pretty ugly. But seriously, I am. My wife and I were looking forward to seeing some ball games, and our grandkids get seeing ball games, and that's been tough to take, not being able to go to the new ballpark.
Oh, Steve, you're exactly right. I mean, I bought my tickets, and I was ready for a fantastic season. We've got a great ownership group, and we're really excited about when the doors will open. I don't have any inside information from minor league baseball, but I'm sensing that they will have a season in 2021. What it looks like, we won't know until we get later into the year. But I think the public will just be so excited when they get into that stadium, and because it's got all the amenities. And unfortunately, not everybody will be able to see the behind the scenes spaces, but it's state of the art throughout the building. And we've got there's an area for the visiting and home team where there's batting cages indoor, as well as a pitching mound or multiple pitching mounds. And they tell me that that space is as good as many major league teams have in their stadium. So, it's pretty phenomenal.
Okay, we're out of time. These times always go quick because
they do.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us. As always, we really appreciate it, and we'll keep our fingers crossed. Things are going to turn up one of these days soon for the entire city and our nation. Our guest, Wichita City Manager Robert Layton, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.